One of the things that really distinguishes this congregation, in my personal opinion, is our confidence in our prayer life. We have always been that way. We will always be that way. We have several special prayer concerns, some that you know about, some that you do not. Charles will be taking Bob Shamp to San Antonio next Sunday morning. Charles is going to be able to open up, but they're going to have to travel to San Antonio early because Bob has to take some medicine Sunday afternoon. And then Charles is going to be taking Bob back and forth to the hospital for a few days. They'll be back either Wednesday or maybe Thursday. We want to pray for Bob and all of these tests, but I want to commend Charles for agreeing to do that also. That is a very, very Christ-like thing to do, and I appreciate him for doing that. Other prayer concerns, I was talking to Daisy, one of Daisy's friends, I'm sure you've seen him, Patrick, who has been here every Sunday since Vacation Bible School, and he was here today. Every Sunday since then, I was asking Daisy if he's, you know, interested at all. She said that he is, and I began to say, if you need any questions answered, that you can, and then I thought, this is Daisy. She knows the Bible as well as I do. She'll be taking care of that. So let's pray that Patrick will go ahead and open up his heart and his mind and that he will be baptized very soon. There was also a couple that was here, and for the life of me, I have either forgotten their name or I never heard their name. This morning, they sat over here pretty much by themselves. They've been here three Sundays in a row. When I first met him 3 weeks ago, I said, you certainly look familiar. He said, well, I've come to the singings here before. But they visited, and that first Sunday that they were here, they slipped out the back door real quickly. I noticed some of you were able to get to them, but not everyone. I noticed Mike had the gentleman cornered over there for a moment or two. They were here last Sunday. I noticed they weren't quite as quick to get out. And then this morning, they actually came through the aisle and were in no rush to get away. So I told him, I'm just curious, where do you attend worship? He wouldn't tell me, but he said, we live between here and Victoria. So maybe Bloomington, or maybe they live in one of those communities. But they are certainly interested in our congregation. They are members of the church. Let's pray for them. Even though we don't know their name, God knows who we're talking about. And we'll see what happens there. And then it was so good to have Tony and his fiance and Bob and Tina here today. And the, I forgot the sheriff's name.
Sheriff Bobby Vickery.
Vickery. Sheriff Vickery and his wife, the sheriff's wife and Rita Rosenbrock were very good friends in their earlier days. And Tina said that they're kind of looking for some place to go. Well, I've said this many times before. I will say it many times in the future. If someone is interested in studying the Bible, this is where they want to be. If they're interested in other things, this is probably not where they want to be. But if they're interested in studying the Bible and applying the Bible to their lives, this is where they want to be. So wouldn't it be great if God gave us those opportunities? Let's continue to pray for those opportunities. Brethren, I don't know about you, but I never enjoyed, even when I was young, playing what-if games. What if this or what if that? I never really enjoyed playing those, and I especially didn't appreciate it when it involved religion or the church or Christianity or the Bible, you know. Well, what if you were on an airliner and it crashed in the middle of the Sahara Desert and it's Sunday and you don't have any crackers and fruit of the vine? You know, what if? What if you're in a car on the way to the church building to baptize somebody and you're in an accident? What if? I never appreciated those what if questions because it sounds to me like you're looking for a loophole. I think that's what it sounds like to me. We've got what the Bible says. There's safety in God's word. That's all that we need to say. But what if? What if every thought that you and I had last week, every thought that we had, was somehow recorded typed out on a piece of paper and handed out here to the congregation every thought that we had last week, would you be delighted or would you be afraid? I hope it never happens. Now, what if every action that you and I did was recorded and we could show it up there on the board? That's fine with us because we're all good, sweet, kind, personable people. We're not rude or insensitive, so I don't mind people seeing every action that I do, but the heart, my mind, my thoughts, I'm not so sure about that. But God has always placed emphasis on the inside. He is interested on our outside. Let your light so shine. He is interested on our outside. But I think even more so, he's interested on our inside. Because what's inside dictates what's seen on the outside. So he's very, very emphasis on that. For instance, in our Bible class this morning, if you were in the auditorium, we'll protest. I've never murdered anyone. Jesus said, if you hate on the inside, it's like wanting them dead. So no, we've never murdered anybody, but Jesus said, if you hate them, if on the inside you hate them, and we protest, I've never committed adultery. Jesus said, but if you've committed adultery in your heart, if you've lusted after someone, Jesus is very, very interested in our thoughts also. Now, obviously, some people don't think thoughts are important, only actions are important. That was notorious in the Old Testament. In fact, I can almost see, looking at the law of Moses, why they thought that. The law of Moses was much, much more an outward religion. As long as you said your prayers, as long as you made your pilgrimages, as long as you offered your sacrifices, as long as you did these physical things, then it seems like everything is pretty much all right. They weren't so interested on the inside under the Old Testament dispensation. But God is interested on the outside and the inside. He wants us to keep the letter of the law, but he wants us to keep it in the spirit of the law. He doesn't want us or anyone else to take a verse or a context or a word and use it for our own benefit. He wants us to be consistent with him. Proverbs 15, verse 26, the Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, and the King James actually uses that word abomination. This is an abomination to God. When God was explaining why he sent the flood to destroy the people of Noah's generation, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of man's heart was on evil all the time. Now, if I want to make a parallel between that generation and our generation, there's the verse that I would use. Man's heart today is on evil all the time. That seems to be the American way. If you have to lie, cheat, steal in order to make money, that seems to be all right. And truthfully, as Paul said, the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's why we as Christians have established our priorities. We're not interested in those things. We're interested in serving God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those things will take care of themselves. So God is certainly interested in our thoughts. In fact, he might be even more interested in our thoughts than he is our outward actions. Because again, what's in our heart, in our mind, is what controls who we are. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. The same teaching is taught in the New Testament as well. In other words, God is interested in our thoughts. Now, if God is interested in our thoughts, the intent of our heart, then brethren, we need to be interested in our thoughts and the intent of our heart as well. Now, for the lesson title, I have used the word mindset. Not exactly sure even where I came up with that word for the title lesson, but I'm going to use it. I'm referring to this thinking, our heart as a mindset. And the way I want to begin the lesson, I want us to do an evaluation of our personal mindset. Now, I've come up with a series of pairs. Unfortunately, there's exactly 13 of them, but that's just the way it is. A series of pairs, and I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm not asking for an amen at a certain time. I'm asking for you, the same as I did, to quietly, in silence, see which one of these pairs is really our mindset. You'll understand as soon as I give one. Number one, do you and I have a tendency to give other people the benefit of the doubt, or do we expect them to prove their innocence before we accept their innocence? Do we have a tendency to give everyone the benefit of the doubt, or do we demand that they prove their innocence? Which is our mindset? Number two, do we always rejoice when someone has good news, or do we sometimes resent the good fortune of others? Number three, do we always hope the best for others, or do we sometimes wish, well, they'd just be brought down a notch or two? Number four, do we always compliment others for their efforts or not? Number five, do we always try to be optimistic, or have we allowed the world to make us cynical? Number six, do we pray for our enemies, or do we hope they get what's coming to them? Number seven, are we happy when something good happens to others, or are we sometimes jealous? Why are they getting the breaks and not me? Number eight, are we generous or are we skeptical? Number nine, are we forgiving or are we resentful? Number 10, do we always encourage or do we sometimes slander? Number 11, do we always thank God even for our meager blessings, or do we despise others who seem to be more blessed by God than we are? Number 12, do we always tell the truth, or do we sometimes embellish the truth? And finally, do we submit to others as the Bible tells us to do? Or are we, the word I used in my notes is headstrong. The word I want to use, though, is stubborn. Are we sometimes just stubborn? Now, taking the test, are you happy with your mindset? Or do you realize, like I do, that there are some flaws that I need to work on. Now, in order to improve my mindset, the first thing I need to do, the first thing anyone would need to do, would be to purge our heart, our thoughts, our minds. Years ago, I lived out at Green Lake, and we didn't have trash pickup, so we burned our garbage. I don't know if the EPA will even let you burn your garbage anymore, but we had to burn our garbage. Well, in order to burn your garbage, you need to get a 55-gallon drum. Well, Cecil worked at Union Carbide at that time, and so I made arrangements with Cecil. They had leftover 55-gallon drums. I think you could buy them for $2 or $3 a piece. And I said, I need three of those drums. He said, okay. He said, but right now they're being purged. Well, what it was they were being cleaned out. They were taking probably steam or something else and making sure that they got all the residue chemicals and things like that out of there so that when I start burning my garbage, it wouldn't become toxic. So they had to purge those drums before I could use them. Well, brethren, we might need to purge our life and get rid of those potential toxic things before God can use us. Let's begin in Titus 1, verse 15. I'm going to read from the New American Standard. Titus 1, 15. To the pure, Paul says, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, that would be non-believers in Christ, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience is defiled. To Christians, we're looking for purity. So all things we seek is going to be pure. But to the non-believer, they don't care so much about purity. Their mind and their conscience is defiled. Brethren, if we allow sin to remain in our life, ultimately that sin is going to take control of our life. That's just the way it is. We need to get the thought and the intent. We need to get the sin out of our life. We can't allow sin to influence. If we want to have a pure mindset, we have to purge our lives. We have to clean them out and start over. All right. Second, to have a pure mindset, we need to replace unwholesome things with wholesome things. Philippians 4:8, we're very, very familiar, especially with the King James and the New King James. But here's a different rendering, a different translation. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything deserves praise, I like the way Paul said that, if anything deserves praise, think about such things. If we want to find praise in our life, praise for God, if we want to be able to appreciate what God has given us, we've got to think on these things. If we want a good, healthy mindset, we have to have good, healthy thoughts in our mind. If we feed our mind with good things, we're going to have good thoughts. Oh, here's a simple question. What if we feed our mind with bad things? What an obvious question. Unfortunately, put an asterisk by that, underline it. It's easier said than done. It's easy for me to say we need to purge our lives of these unhealthy thoughts. It's easy for you to sit there and say that's absolutely right, but it's easier said than done. And here again, I don't want to blame the world, but we live in such a negative world. We live in a world that's trying to put smut in our lives every day. And you know who's holding that brush? Satan. If Satan can paint our world of indecency, immorality, unwholesome things, non-godly things, if he can paint that stroke with broad strokes, and we grow up getting comfortable with those things, what's going to happen to our children? What's going to happen to our grandchildren? Satan is behind all of this. We are at war with Satan. Sometimes we think that war is all on the outside. Brethren, really, not much of it is on the outside. The war we're having with Satan is all on the inside. I've used this illustration before. I use it one more time. There was a wise old Native American chief. I can't say Indian anymore. I don't mean anything politically incorrect. I can't say that. Old Native American chief. He had his great-grandson with him. And his great-grandson was doing something that was wrong, and so his great-grandfather chastised him a little bit. And he said, "Son, let me tell you something. There are two wolves living on the inside of every one of us. One wants us to do good, one wants us to do bad. And they're constantly battling inside." And the little boy looked up at his great-grandfather and he said, "Which one is going to win?" And his grandfather said, "Whichever one we feed." But then that's what's going to win the battle of our minds. If we want to fight off evil thoughts, then we have to fortify our thoughts with good things. And again and again and again, that's easier said than done. Have you ever had this problem? I do my hardest thinking at night when I've already gone to bed. Thinking, thinking, thinking. Hard, hard, hard. And an evil thought will pop into my mind. Don't get me wrong. That's normal. That's the devil. evil thought will pop in my mind. Try as I may, I cannot move that song. That song, I gave away my punchline. I cannot move that thought away from my mind. You know what works? Sing a song. Sing a church song. Sing a song of count your many blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done, and then you'll be thinking about that song all night long and probably even the next day. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 tells us to take captive every thought and make every thought obedient to Christ. So brethren, in other words, the next time an unwholesome thought enters our mind, don't get comfortable with that unwholesome thought. Don't allow it to just reside in your heart or your mind, at least without a fight. Get rid of it as soon as possible. Replace it as soon as possible. Replace it with something good. Sing a song about God's love and your love. Think of a passage of Scripture. Get up and start reading your Bible. Don't get comfortable with these unwholesome things in our mind. And finally, to have a pure mindset, we need to set our minds on spiritual things. Paul says in Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1, since we have been raised with Christ Jesus, we need to set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We need to set our mind on things above, not on earthly things. For we died and our life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we will also be with him, appear with him in his glory. Years ago, when people used horse-drawn carriages, you know, some would be one horse, two horses, stagecoach had with six or eight horses. If you had a, let's say you had a one-horse carriage, and that horse was always looking to the right or looking to the left, or trying to strain to see behind them, you're going to end up off the road. So what they did was they invented these things called blinders. And they would attach somehow to the harness. I don't even know how it worked. But it would keep that horse from turning. He had to be looking straight ahead. Brethren, there's a good application for us. We need to keep our eyes on the prize. We need to stop looking right and left, behind us. We need to walk in the light where God is. Otherwise, we're going to get off the path. And we can't get off the path. We can't get off the path. So when we realize how cluttered our life is, when we realize how many things need our attention, when we realize that life is short and there are so many things to do, let's just pause and realize that someday we're going to leave this life behind. And many of those things that we wish we could have done are going to be left undone. Either someone else will do them or they'll never get done, but it's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to keep going straight. Stay on that path. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Anyway, I hope these have been an encouragement to you. If we struggle with evil thoughts, God is there to help us. If we have a pure mindset, we will do these things. We will purge our lives of sin. We'll get rid of wholesome thoughts. Replace those unwholesome We'll get rid of unwholesome thoughts and replace them with wholesome thoughts, and we'll set our mind on spiritual things. God will help us. Perhaps tonight there's someone who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation. If it is you, won't you come as we stand together and as we sing?